This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Lori Fast takes your pet behavior questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Pet Talk. You're listening to Lori Fass. I'm here live on this July 5th. Apparently, a lot of the shows that were on today were pre-recorded, and poor Kevin had no company today whatsoever. But in any case, I'm covering for Dr. Dennis, and it would have been her turn today. And as I've explained in the past, this show is unique in that some of the shows are the Behavior Edition, which is me, and when she's here, it's more the medical edition. And she's going to be doing two shows in a row. And I think she just, when we work out the schedule, I try to take into account what things might interrupt the ability to just do a straight rotation. And so, you know, if I couldn't do today, then there probably would have been a pre-recorded show for Pet Talk 2. But here I am, which means that if you want to call in, you're very welcome to do so at 860-522-WTIC. And I always extend an invitation for anybody who's listening to contact me off the air. And the best ways to find out my contact information off the air is check my website, which is LoriFassDogTraining.com. And I also on my website post when I'm going to be on the air. So if you want to know, you know, what's going on. Sometimes I have to check that myself when we have these kinds of rotations where it's not me and then next week is Dr. Dennis and then it's me and Dr. Dennis. When we interrupt that rotation, it can get really confusing. So I always write it down am I on? Let me check my own website and then I'll find out. But I've had people ask me and that's just a very easy way to do it. So last time I was on the air, one of the topics I was talking about, aside from the heat, which, you know, I guess there's a lot that can be said about that, is the fireworks. And if you want to know when and where there are fireworks in Connecticut, you can just look up Connecticut fireworks. And on ConnecticutVisit.com, I think they have a list of all the different times that there are fireworks. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because in Connecticut, fireworks start in June and they continue on until the first week of September. So, you know, you would think that the 4th of July weekend yesterday and maybe today even, there'd be a lot of fireworks, and there are. But they continue to go on and on and on. I don't know if you're a fan of fireworks or not. I mean, they're pretty, but animals don't like them. Wildlife doesn't like them. Most pets really, really don't like them. And in the town of Newington, which is where I'm from, there's always this big extravaganza, which is a fair and fireworks. And that's always the third Saturday of July. So that's coming up. I think that's going to end up being on the 19th. And so when I was looking at when and where the fireworks were, I knew they went on a little bit longer. But, you know, we're talking August. We're talking, let me see when the last date here. September 6th is going to be the Hartford Yard Goats. So if you live anywhere in that neighborhood, you're going to hear this stuff. So I guess the reason I'm bringing it up is for comfort and safety of your pets. And I had mentioned, you know, Happy Hoodie, which is something you put over your dog's head to kind of buffers the noise. But what I used last night, because I knew there were going to be fireworks in New Britain, is a chewable called Thunder Wonders, which I think works pretty well. So I just want to throw that out. And I also want to just make sure that people understand that right around this time, there are more dogs that end up getting lost than any other time of year because people let their dogs out thinking they're just going to go do their business and then come back in. And then all of a sudden they hear some crazy noise. They get spooked. They run out of what the range they're normally accustomed to. And even though it might be just a house or two away, it's in a direction or in a place that they don't know. They're still panicked. They keep going. And by the time they figure out that they're lost, they don't know they're lost. They don't know where they are. So this is like a really, really big problem. And I think in addition to the actual fireworks that you can look up online, which again, just look up Connecticut fireworks and you'll find it if you want to know. But I think the real thing that is really, really bad for people's pets is random people who just like to blow off fireworks. Okay. So last night, one of my neighbors was blowing off fireworks, but, you know, we had the one in New Britain. My dogs were already on the Thunder Wonder calming chews, so they were okay with it. But one year, I had a neighbor around the corner from me, and this was on the same day as the extravaganza. So it was like really crazy. I don't even know where they got these things. They were actually blowing off real actual fireworks. They were shooting up in the air and giving a display that you'd see at, you know, some kind of professional firework exhibition of some sort. So I don't know where they got these things. And I, aside from being really, really loud, it sounded like, you know, somebody was blowing something up, which I guess they kind of were. It was very scary. My dogs were really, really scary. I mean, the Thunder Wonders wasn't doing it for this particular thing. And I'm pretty sure it was also illegal because I know that when those fireworks shoot up in the air, where they land down is going to potentially cause some damage. So I don't know what these neighbors actually thought they were doing. And they kept doing it. So, you know, 15 minutes into them continuing to do it, I decided, okay, I'm going to be a snitch. So I don't know if I'm going to get stitches now since snitches get stitches, but I don't think it counts for this. But I did call the police and the police kind of did a little round, little tour around the neighborhood, at which point they had stopped. And I don't know if they stopped because they saw the police and they had a lookout or if they were done with this stuff. But what am I saying here? What I'm saying here is you never know what your neighbors are going to be blowing off. And this seems to be the time of year that people just love to do this. I don't know, you know, what the big fascination is, but it is. And so your pets are, you know, your cats, your dogs who might normally be okay. Although, you know, I have some hesitation with letting animals loose. You've got to always be careful with that. But particularly this time of year. So I'm just cautioning people to be aware that this kind of blowing stuff off outside is going to continue on for a while. You know, you never know. I mean, who would have guessed that my neighbor around the corner was going to be blowing off professional fireworks? That would, if my dogs had been outside unsupervised, not in a fence, in an escape-proof fence, they absolutely would have taken off. No question about it. I mean, I probably would have taken off too if I didn't know what the heck it was. So I'm just really encouraging people to be extra special cautious because, as I said before, this is the time of year that animals get lost more than any other time of year. And so, you know, I would just like you to take it seriously so that nobody gets lost, nobody gets scared, nobody gets hurt. But anyway, that's enough of that rant. So I think maybe we'll go to a break and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. If you couldn't tell, it was Pet Talk by the music. But anyway, I'm always on the lookout for songs that have some kind of reference to dogs or cats or something. But then there's quite a few of them out there, so we're just going to keep on going with that. So anyway, one of the things that I wanted to talk about today, and it's something that has come up as a subject in the past, is the subject of bears. And the reason that I'm bringing it up is because there seem to be kind of a population explosion of bears in Connecticut. And as I mentioned earlier, I live in Newington, and I've lived there for quite some time. And I don't ever remember bears just kind of wandering around in Newington. But I saw a picture of a bear that was on Market Square, which is a little strip where there's a lot of stores. There's a vitamin store over there. There's little restaurants over there. And that's probably about a mile away from my house. And then there was another, it might have been the same bear, I don't know, but it was on the intersection of Willard Avenue and Cedar Street, which is that's a main intersection. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly how these bears negotiate the road situation. You know, obviously it'd be kind of hard to miss a bear, but, you know, nevertheless, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody hitting a bear with a car. Certainly you hear that about deer, but now that I'm thinking of it, I don't recall anybody doing that. So, you know, I'm not sure what's going on with the bear situation here, but I read an article that said something about that one of the things that was discussed was allowing people to hunt for bear. I guess you're not allowed to do that right now. And I can't, you know, I mean, I love animals. I don't know that I think that's the greatest idea. And I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, so excuse me, but I think about the feral cats and the trap, spay, neuter, and release program. I wonder how that would work for bears. You'd need, I don't know who would fund that. I can just imagine all these bear traps around where people are, you know, trapping, spaying, neutering. I do know that they trap bears because I've seen pictures of bears with tags on them. So clearly, if they're catching them and tagging them, I don't know if, you know, that's a viable option. But the reason I'm bringing it up is the whole subject of bears in general is because, once again, you know, in terms of your pets, bears can create a problem. And where we end up with the biggest problem is when dogs are just loose, okay? So apparently half of the incidents that happen with bears happen because of a dog, of an off-leash dog. And half of those, which I guess now comes down to a quarter of the instances with bears and dogs, is going to result in the animal either being injured or even killed. And if a little dog or any size dog comes barreling out after a bear, in many cases, the bear will run away. If you go on YouTube, you can see a lot of kind of funny videos with little dogs chasing after bears. In reality, the bears we have in Connecticut are not that aggressive. If they were, we would be in serious trouble. They just pretty much want to be left alone. But if they have young, there's cubs involved, or if they feel like they're getting cornered, or they feel like they're being threatened in some kind of way. And if a dog is, you know, going after a bear, barking its head off, and let's face it, a lot of dogs don't have a lot of sense, and some of the littlest dogs don't have the least amount of sense. No offense to little dogs. I love little dogs. But, you know, they don't know many times that they are. You're a little dog, hello. And even if you're a big dog, a bear weighs 300 pounds. So, you know, I suppose if there were a pack of large breed guardian dogs chasing after a bear, but nobody walks around with that. That's ridiculous. So what does it come down to? It comes down to, again, keeping your dog on a leash and not putting yourself in that position. I know people want their dogs to have fun and run around and play and all of that, but, you know, try to have some sense of where you're going to let your dog do that. If you make the wrong choice, you know, I was talking earlier about the fireworks, and they're still going to go on, and they'll kind of peter out over time. But, you know, we've got fireworks in Connecticut until September, and then you've got your neighbors or, you know, some friend at the neighbors or whatever, or some kid walking down the street blowing these things off. If you don't have your dog on a leash, you're going to be in big trouble. There are so many situations where if people just had their dogs on a leash, we would not have a problem. I mean, it's crazy. And yet people want to do it because they think they're being nice to their dog. And yeah, does your dog having fun? Sure, they're having fun, but they're having fun until they're not having fun anymore. So if you're in the woods, you're on a trail, and you think it'd be great to just let your dog run all around, and they usually come back, or I've had people say, well, you know, they chase things and I don't know where they are for a while, and then they come back. Well, they might not come back one day, or you don't know what they're going after. And are they having fun? Yeah, sure, they're having fun. But I don't think that having fun is always the best criteria for deciding what is and isn't best for your pet or your children, for that matter. You know, your children could have a heck of a good time playing with all sorts of dangerous things until somebody gets hurt. And generally speaking, people have a little more sense with their kids, although I shouldn't say that. But, you know, just simply putting your dog on a leash. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, and this particularly applies to things that your dog is getting scared of, like the fireworks or people blowing off their own fireworks they got from God knows where, is having your dog on a harness or a collar that they cannot get out of. So many people have poorly fitted collars and harnesses on their pets because, again, a lot of the motivation for this is because they don't want it to be too tight and they don't want their dog to be uncomfortable. And, you know, of course, nobody wants their dog to be uncomfortable. You have to be some kind of real weirdo for that. And they're out there, too. Maybe they're not listening to the show, hopefully. But if you have a collar, you want to try to pull it off your dog's head with a little bit of force, like really pull it. And if you can pull it off of your dog's head, that is not a safe collar, which is one of the reasons why martingale collars are such a good idea, because they have an adjustable strap on the bottom, and then they have kind of an O-shaped top, which hooks onto it. And it's loose, but when a dog tries to back out or it pulls tight, then they can't get out. And those types of collars are frequently used on greyhounds because greyhounds' heads are shaped like bullets and their necks are bigger than their heads. And so getting something that'll fit snugly on their neck that they can't pull off over their head, you know, martingale collars is pretty much going to be the only type of collar that you can do that. And the same thing with harnesses. People think, oh, a harness is going to be much safer. It might not. But if a dog is going to get out of a harness, what's going to happen is they're going to pull their shoulders and legs out of it. So you can kind of do the same test, which is you take the harness and you know, imagine your dog is like stuck. So you want to use a little bit of force. Don't just try it just very gently. I'm not saying to rough your dog up, but, you know, you want to use a little bit of force and see if you can pull the harness over the dog's legs. And if you can get it across their chest and over their legs, once again, that is not a safe piece of equipment. And I meet people all the time that are signed up in my classes or that I'm seeing privately. And that's one of the very first things I check for, is that they cannot get out of whatever they have on. And another little add-on piece to that, and especially since it's summer, a lot of people whose dogs are long-haired dogs are giving their dogs short haircuts. And, you know, that might happen anyway if you, you know, want easier coat maintenance or if your dog got matted up. But what happens when you cut off all that nice thick fur? Your dog is now a size smaller. I've seen dogs that have gotten back from the groomer. I don't even recognize them anymore. And so whatever collar and a harness that you had previously that maybe did fit okay, you come back from the groomer and it doesn't anymore. And so now you're going to have to adjust it. So that's something that you really want to keep in mind. And it's all about safety and keeping your pets, you know, from harm. And you can just simply see if you can pull. Don't worry about putting your two fingers in there or anything like that. Literally see if you can pull the thing off of your dog. And if you can, it's too loose and don't do it, please. Because again, main objective here is keep everybody safe. So I think we need to go to a break. And that's what we're going to do. And we'll be right back. Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to Lori Fass, and this is the behavior edition of the show. I'm here till 2 o'clock, and you can call in if you'd like at 860-522-WTIC. So that's 522-WTIC, or you can contact me off the air. Just check my website, which is LoriFassDogTraining.com. And I'm kind of jumping around talking about fireworks, talking about bears. And someone called in and they don't want to be on the air. They just wanted to let me know. So I'm going to let you guys know that she saw a bear that had been hit by a car, because I had said that I wasn't aware of that. I hadn't seen it, anything like that. I mean, I'm sure it's bound to happen. But she said that this occurred in Southington on Route 84. So with the amount of bears that are in the state of Connecticut, I don't see how it wouldn't happen. And I was mentioning that there was a bear in Newington on Willard and Cedar Street, which are main, it's a main intersection there. So, you know, I don't know how they wouldn't be hit by cars. But, you know, that was just sort of an interesting piece of information. And as I say, I'm just kind of jumping around, but I think that I did not mention, and I did want to mention, that if you wanted to learn a little bit more about bear safety and ways to keep safe around bears, there's a very good educational website called bearwise.org. So that's the word bear, wise, I don't know, like the potato chips, .org. So that's something that you might want to access if you're interested in the subject. And, you know, they have some interesting ideas on how to keep bears away from your bird feeders and other interesting stuff like that. So as long as I'm jumping around talking about random stuff, I'm going to talk about, I want to mention just briefly that I had read an article that and I think this is probably a historical long-term problem, a rodent problem. But apparently there's some kind of uptick in rodents, which is basically mice and rats and that sort of thing. And I do have a cat, but my cat is pretty much not a mouser at all. As a matter of fact, one day I saw her, it looked like she was playing with her food. She was like patting her food around, like pat, 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 pat with her little paw. And I go, what are you, why are you playing with your food? What is wrong with you? So I walked over to the food bowl and there was a little baby mouse in her food bowl. So she, you know, obviously not very prey drive, predatory kind of an animal. So I scooped up the little baby mouse, picked it up, put it outside, which I don't know, maybe very well came right back into my house for all I know. But one of the things that this article that was talking about the rodent problem was saying is that you probably don't want to use poison to get rid of whatever rodent issue you might have, because once they get that in their system, other animals will eat them. So, you know, I don't know all of the wildlife that eat these things, but birds of prey would eat them. Fox would eat them. Coyotes, I'm sure, would eat them. You know, people's pets would eat these things. If, you know, if your dog found a dead mouse, think of all the weird, disgusting things that your dog might like to eat. I mean, I know some dogs are fussy. Cats are generally a little bit more meticulous with that. I wouldn't say they wouldn't do it, but I'd be pretty sure that if a cat found a dead mouse, it's like, you know, we're not going to just pick this up and eat it. Would have to be very, very hungry to do that. And I suppose if it was a homeless feral or something like that, it might. But the point being that if you're putting poison into mice and you're putting poison into rats, you're not just necessarily going to be poisoning them. You could be poisoning all sorts of other things that might eat them. So that leads me to my next unusual piece of information that you may not have heard about. And maybe there's such a thing for bears, which I had suggested trap, neuter, release for bears, kind of tongue in cheek. I don't think anybody's going to do that with mice, but there is actually a product that is mouse and rat birth control. And I think the product is called Contraptistol or something like that. Contraceptol, something. I'm probably saying it wrong. But those types of animals reproduce rapidly, and I don't think that they live very long. So if you were to introduce some sort of a birth control type method into their life cycle, you know, it's not going to kill them instantly the way poison would. But according to this product information, this works better than trapping, and it works better than poison. Of course, you know, anybody that's trying to promote themselves is going to say that. But, you know, if you're a person, I mean, honestly, I think mice are cute, if we're going to be honest here. When I was a little kid, I always wanted to have pet mice, and my father was not having it. I grew up in New York City. He was not like little rodents like that. If you've ever seen a New York City rat, you probably don't want to see a New York City rat. Let's just put it that way. But I've always thought they were very, very cute. And so just from an environmental protecting other animals point of view, and if you're like me and you like animals and you don't want to kill them, and some of the traps, like those sticky traps, those things are just animal torture, as far as I'm concerned. I wish they didn't even exist. Basically, those are traps where the animal's feet get stuck on the sticky thing, and then they panic, and then they die, or people just throw them out like that. And other animals, birds, I've heard of getting stuck in these things. So that is out. You know, the traps that kill them right away, well, you know, I'm not a big fan of killing anything that you don't have to. So I thought somebody out there might say, hey, I did not know that there was birth control for rats and mice. And this might actually be a viable way to get rid of or certainly control the population. So on their website, because I just pulled that up here, it says 90% more effective than traps. I don't have any idea how they know that. And 100% more humane. Well, we can all agree to that. But how they would know it was 90% more effective than traps, I have no idea. And they've got this little picture of a mouse over that statement. Maybe that's what the mouse is saying. I don't know. But anyway, you know, I know it's not directly related to pets other than that, you know, if you're poisoning rodents, that you're putting your pet as well as wildlife at risk. And so you might want to be looking into other options. I'm just going to say a funny quick story and then we're going to go to a break. Years ago, I don't know what was up with the ants. I'm sure everybody's had an issue with ants at one point in time. And sort of like a whole row of these ants were coming into my house. No matter how much I scooped them up and chucked them outside, they kept going. So I said, okay, I'm going to use an ant trap. And so I got one of those. They look like little metal tins and they've got little holes in them. The ants are supposed to go in there and eat this stuff that looks like some kind of paste. And, you know, then it's supposed to make them die, go away, whatever. So I put the trap down, and it didn't really seem to be working very well, to be honest with you. And then one of the dogs that I had at the time, that was a young pup, got it. I didn't realize she had gotten it. I thought I had stuck it underneath something, but apparently it attracted her more than it did the ants. And she opened it up and she ate some of it. And so, of course, I panicked and I got on the phone to poison control to find out, all right, what do I need to do? Do I need to induce vomiting? Does she need to go to the vet? And they wanted to know what was the serial number and it was the brand. And I gave them all this information. And at the end of that whole conversation, I was told, well, don't worry about it. That's not going to cause any harm. The worst that will happen is she will get a stomach ache and then she'll be fine. And it's not an emergency. You don't have to worry about it. And I thought to myself, that's probably what's happening with the ants because it's not working with them either. But anyway, if you do have any sort of pesticides of any kind, you should be well aware of what it is, what it's going to do. You know, if any of your pets get into it, which is a possibility, they make these things attractive to rodents. So if they're attractive to rodents, they might be other animals might be attracted to it, including your pets. So that's why you need to look into the mouse birth control situation. But anyway, that's all I've got to say on that subject. So we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to Lori Fass live today on this July 5th. I'm here until 2 o'clock, so if you wanted to call in right now at 860-522-WTIC, then you can do that, and I will have a chance to talk to you. If you don't want to call in or you want to talk to me but not on the air, I always invite people to do that. And the easiest way to find contact information for me is check my website, which is LoriFassDogTraining.com. And I see we have a caller. We just have to get you set up there and then we'll have a little chat. But one of the things that I wanted to share that I thought was really kind of interesting is that according to the U.S. Census, more homeowners have pets than children under the age of 18. So I thought that was a really interesting statistic. So I guess 71% of people in our country own pets. That's a lot of pets. And just from an expense point of view, in the year 2012, people spent on their pets $53.3 billion. And in 2024, as if that wasn't enough for people, in 2024, people spent $152 billion on their pets. So that kind of is a pretty significant number. So let's talk to Jack. Hi, Jack.
Hi, good afternoon. You were talking a little bit earlier about dogs and short hair and long haired dogs. I tuned in about 20 minutes ago, and I just caught the end of it.
Okay.
But I was wondering, if you have a long-haired dog, like a shepherd or like a sheepdog or something, Is it better to keep the hair long or short? And the reason I ask is, I had some neighbors down the shore, and they had a beautiful, white, furry dog. I don't know, is it Malamute or something? I don't know what kind of dog.
Samoyed.
She was a sweetheart. And one day they brought her back from the vet. And she was shaved to about an inch.
Oh my God!
Of fur, and she got sunburned.
Yeah.
What's? Yeah, that's But yet, when they have the heavy fur, which is the best way to go?
Okay,
to
compromise? Well, if I had a Samoyed or a Husky or a Shepherd, those breeds of dogs have an undercoat and the outer coat. Okay, do you know what I'm talking about with the undercoat and the outer coat? Okay, so a lot of times when it gets warm, you can see, you know, those big tufts of fur that you see coming out of a dog's fur, like big chunks, you can kind of pull them out with your fingers. That's the undercoat.
Right.
Okay, so as you very clearly brought out as a point, a very good point, is dogs, if their sun is exposed, can get sunburned. Okay, so what you want to do is you want to get out that undercoat. And the only reason that I can think of to shave a dog like that down to that degree is if there's something wrong with their coat. You know, somehow or another, they got horribly matted and it was, you know, sometimes people just neglect their dogs horribly. And the only way, you have to kind of start from scratch. But if you have a situation like that, you need to be aware you are, you know, exposing your dog to the sun. They're going to need like a little t-shirt, even though under normal circumstances they wouldn't. If they still have fur, good luck with sunscreen. You're not going to be able to put that on there.
Right.
But the outer coat acts not only as a shield for, you know, sun, but it acts
UV rays and so forth.
It's just a sort of an insulating thing, and that's why. And you'll see this with wild animals too, where you see wild animals shedding out their undercoat, and you can see those big clumps of hair coming out of them. Okay, so then when we get into the fall and we get into the winter months, their undercoat regrows and it gets very thick. And that's a natural way that animals deal with these changing temperature things. But shaving down a dog like that is just not generally a good idea.
I'll add something if I can.
Oh, yeah,
if
absolutely.
I can interrupt.
Yeah.
The man in this family, it was a family with five kids.
Okay.
He was a dentist. He was no dummy.
Okay.
And they shaved poor Ginger right down about a half inch of fur.
Well, you know, I don't know why they did that. I mean, just because somebody's not a dummy and just because somebody has money and, you know, by all means should be a good pet owner, some of the people that should be the best pet owners are the worst pet owners. They just don't keep their dogs up. So let's say this dog's, I mean, I don't know what happened, but let's say the dog's coat became horribly matted and in order to comb it out without shaving it would be too hard on the dog. That might be a reason. But I think a lot of people do it not because of that reason, but because they think, in my opinion, it was what we're discussing, mistakenly believe that that's going to be more comfortable for the pet. And
right.
It's not.
Yeah, they didn't shave it. I guess they brought it to a vet. They lived next door to me down the shore years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they'd leave her out. They'd chain her on the back porch.
Real involved pet owner relationship right there. She's out on a chain all the time. Chances are the condition of her coat was awful. And if
it was really nice, to be honest with you.
Well,
they went down the waterfront, they'd leave her out. One day I heard her out there crying.
Oh boy.
She was laying down flat. She had no water.
Oh my God. Well, in order to know if the condition of the coat was in good shape or not, you would have to pet her and feel into the fur to see if it gets matted up.
I used to pet her every day.
And was her coat not all
she'd
matted
come over
up?
I've never owned a dog. Different reasons I've never owned one.
Okay.
But I'll never forget Ginger when she was out there laying flat, moaning, on top of it, having the short hair.
Oh boy, wow. Yeah. So I don't know what people are thinking. Sometimes I'll guess, and half the time I'm wrong, probably more than half. But I do know that those are reasons why people shave the dog down is because they mistakenly think it's more comfortable for the dog. And the other reason is because the coat gets so out of control. I used to have a Pomeranian, which she was 6 pounds. So she's a little tiny guy. But if I didn't keep up with her coat maintenance, it would get very, very matted. And if you just felt the top of it, you wouldn't necessarily know that was the case because she looked cute and she's a puffball. But if I got down in there with a comb or with a rake, I'd be pulling out big chunks of undercoat, which would get matted in there if I didn't do that. So that's why I'm saying a dog like a Samoyed can get a very, very matted up coat very easily. And especially if it's getting wet and not being combed out. The coat maintenance involved with a big, thick-haired dog like that is a lot. So, you know, it might have appeared to have been in much better shape than it is. And the way you've described the situation to me, it doesn't sound like these people were taking really great care of their dog by my standards. I wouldn't
give
them
a dog. And she was such a sweetheart, too. She was such a sweetheart of a dog.
Yeah.
She'd come over and visit, and I'd pet her. When I saw her with that water, I just brought a pan of water over, put it in front of her, and I pet her a little bit and put some up to her mouth, and she started lapping it up.
Yeah.
And then I actually, when she stood up and stuff and shook herself off a little bit, and I took the hose and put it on a fine mist.
Yeah.
And, you know, just watered her down, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, think about why are you taking care of somebody else's pet who's there and capable and has eyes? You know what I mean? That's a neglectful pet owner. As far as I'm concerned. I mean, maybe there
are
some other ways, but...
I was, too.
Yeah, so who knows what was going on. If I had to guess, I would guess that they just let that coat get really, really matted up. And if you had really sunk your fingers into it, you would have felt that it was very matted, much more than it might have appeared to on first glance.
Well, I hope a couple other people listen to the idea and, you know, think about it and stuff. And I would naturally think, you know, long hair, you shave the hair off the dog. And it's like taking your coat off,
another thing that I understand to be the case is, you know, as I say, there's the undercoat and there's the outer coat. And if you shave it down like that, you're going to affect the regrowth in a negative way. So you may affect what the coat is going to grow back like. There are certain breeds of dogs that should be cut or clipped, like poodles, for example. But, you know, you're talking about dogs like huskies and Samoyeds and German Shepherds and Golden Retrievers and dogs like that. They, in my opinion, should not be shaved down at all. They just need to get that undercoat out, and then we're good to go.
Okay, well, I hope we put the good word out to a few people.
Yeah, that would be helpful. The people that actually do care and maybe think they're doing their dog a favor and they can rethink it.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, so hopefully that will help some people. You know, as I was saying, you really don't want to be shaving a dog. And as he was pointing out, dogs can get sunburned. And I did mention that, I think, last time I was on the air. If you have a dog, particularly a light-colored, short-haired dog, where dogs are most likely to get sunburned is on their face and their nose. But if you have a dog with that very short, short hair, you can use sunscreen. And if you're going to use sunscreen, they have sunscreen for dogs or people with sensitive skin or children. There's certain ingredients you don't want to be slathering on your dog, but... you know, dogs can be vulnerable to a lot of things in a lot of ways. And sometimes people are well-meaning, and sometimes this dog, the Samoyed that this caller was describing, it sounds to me like that pet owner was just flat-out negligent. And please don't let your dog's coat get so bad that you have to shave it down because there's no other way to control the matting. So I know it's a lot of work, but, you know, get yourself a rake and a good comb and... start getting out some of that undercoat. Okay, so anyway, that's going to about wrap it up for today's show, and enjoy the rest of your week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.